Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Everybody, and a TGIF to you, News Radio 1070 WKOK. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you, filling in for Sean Carey as he begins a week off. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They have, of course, the Pickle Bar, indeed second to none. Fresh and hot roasted peanuts, fresh and hot every day. All the brews and everything else that you need for your weekend getaway, watching the game, whatever it is, they got that ready for you. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, and of course, brewersoutlet.com. We love Brewers Outlet Fridays here on the Steve Jones Show. And Steve Jones coming up soon from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And come of course, with today, Penn State kicking off their fall camp as they get ready for the 2019 season. And of course, with Steve coming up, he's been at practice every day and of course, throughout the offseason training. And a lot of question marks with this Penn State team. Not a whole lot of great expectations for this team, as we have talked about before. Picked number 14 in the coach's preseason poll towards the bottom right now. Sean Clifford, rather, I should say. The quarterback for Penn State is at the kind of the bottom right now as far as the Big Ten quarterback rankings go. And all eyes will be on him as he takes over the reins of the offense for Trace McSorley this year. And we know he's confident. Based on what he said, based on the leadership roles that he's kind of taken under his wing already, the guys are really rallying around him. That locker room is really liking what he's doing so far from a mental standpoint, a leadership standpoint. So that is obviously good to see when you're switching quarterbacks. But obviously we have to see it come together now on the field. And I look at the running back situation and the wide receiver situation, and there's some guys that, yes, gained some experience last year, but now that's full go with them. And we'll see how the transition goes with a new quarterback and all these new weapons coming together. What's been key for Penn State, as we all know the last couple seasons, with their offensive success, is their running game. But there's no more Saquon Barkley, and there's no more Miles Sanders. Ricky Slade coming in this year. Of course, we all know, five-star recruit. Got some time last year behind Miles Sanders. What is he going to do to step up? Journey Brown, what will he do this year? He's got some potential. Plus, you have the Notre Dame transfer in C.J. Holmes, who was a four-star recruit. We'll see. He'll probably get some more time this year. Look at receiver. You know what you have in K.J. Hamler also from a special team standpoint. So I think that helps to have a guy that you know that you can go to and you can count on if you're Sean Clifford to go throw the ball downfield, make plays. Justin Shorter, number 8 recruit, number 1 wide receiver recruit out of 2018. He's going to get more time this year. Showed some flashes last year. Same with the sophomore, Jahan Dotson. So everything's got to come together. But I think it's still going to be key for the success of this Penn State offense between quarterback and running back. If the running game is good again this year, if Rick Slade and Journey Brown, C.J. Holmes, whatever combination it is, if those guys can keep things together, keep the defense honest, to open up things down the field for a guy like K.J. Hamler and then the rest, and Shorter and Dotson, the rest of those guys, then it's going to be an easier transition for Sean Clifford. But as we know, there's a lot of good defenses in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, you name it. So it's going to be a tough challenge for this Penn State offense this year. And because of that, this Penn State defense, you got a lot of good, really talented players coming back. And that's going to be key for Penn State this year. They're going to have to rely on their defense, to me, to make plays, create turnovers, create those short fields, and be able to make some of those types of game-changing plays to help their offense out with a lot of new faces on that side of the football. Excited, of course, to see Micah Parsons. And really, I think that linebacking core for Penn State this year is going to be pretty outstanding. That front seven really is going to be pretty outstanding for Penn State this year. Of course, you got Micah Parsons, Cam Brown, Jan Johnson across the board for the linebacking core. Yoder Gross-Matos, Robert Windsor, all had preseason awards this year. And then you got John Reed, who's a playmaker himself, also from a special team standpoint, too, coming back for his senior year at cornerback. So you got a lot of playmakers defensively. And I think if you're James Franklin, you're Sean Clifford, and the rest of that offensive staff, I think it's a nice cushion to have, having know that you have some playmakers on the defensive side that maybe can help you out a little bit and cover for your offense. Because it's going to take some time for this Penn State offense to get together. And they had their struggles last season even. Because you don't even count the offensive line struggles that were had last year. Now, of course, all those guys are coming back, but you still have a lot more pieces to unfold here. Up-tempo, will that work maybe? It could. But still, when you play the top defenses in the Big Ten in college football, it doesn't matter how fast or slow you're going. Your talent and your overall offensive chemistry has to find a way to move the ball up and down the field, especially once you get inside the 20. So we'll get Steve's perspective on that as the Penn State football season right around the corner. Can't wait for it. And, of course, we are your home for Penn State football right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Also, the Phillies in baseball, home against the White Sox for alumni weekend at Citizens Bank Park. Bobby Abreu being inducted into the Phillies Wall of Fame tomorrow night. First pitch tonight is 7:05. Coverage beginning right here on WKOK at 6:30. And a lot of intrigue with the Phillies tonight. Jason Vargas, of course, who just came over from the Mets in the trade right by the deadline, is going to make his Phillies debut tonight, going up against Ivan Nova, who's surprisingly struggled this year for the White Sox. Only 6-9, a 5.23 ERA, and 125 and two-thirds innings pitched this year. So we'll see if the Phillies can get the bats going as they did yesterday against the Giants. And a lot to talk about here, Steve.
Yeah, JT Realmuto, big home run.
Yeah, big game. Kingery, too.
Kingery needed that. All right, I want to get to the ridiculous item of the day. You're going to love this.
Okay.
Did you hear about Steven Jackson?
I know that he's retiring.
Yes. Oh, there's more to it than that.
I guess I haven't seen the second part to this yet.
Steven Jackson, who did a great job for the vast majority of his career with the Rams, okay? So he's decided, as Matty Ice just said, he wanted to sign a one-day contract to retire as a Ram. Now, how many people over the years have we've seen this, where they signed the one-day contract, and with the one-day contract, they then retire with the team that they spent the vast majority of their career with, right?
Exactly right.
Well, when you have too often in the last few years, we have had mistakes made because you have people who are inexperienced in positions and don't know who they're dealing with and why, because they don't have the experience. They don't know who they are. Somebody in the NFL office got wind that the Rams were going to, quote, sign Steven Jackson. Now, again, he's signing a one-day contract so he can retire as a Ram. The NFL sent him a note. They want to drug test him.
What?
Yep.
This is done all the time with different retirements. I mean, I get he violated it several times, but, like, come on.
They want to drug test him.
They should have gone back at the tape of that ridiculous challenge with the pass interference last night. It's already come back to bite them. That's what they should be worrying about right now.
But you know darn well, I bet dollars to donuts. I would wager dollars to donuts that the person that made that request has no idea who Steven Jackson is and what he's doing. They have no idea he hasn't been in the league for 4 years. They have no idea that it was going to be a one-day contract to retire. He hasn't played in 4 years. He's signing a one-day contract to retire, and somebody in the NFL office says he needs to go out. And he needs to be drug tested.
When that first came out, I thought he was already retired. I was like, wait a minute, he didn't retire yet?
Well, he just wanted to do the one-day contract so he could officially retire.
Right, yeah.
It's all he wants to do.
He had all the injury issues towards the end of his career, unfortunately.
Yeah. But they wanted to drug test.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. But meanwhile, we've done nothing with Tyreek Hill.
But I'm just saying, though, he hasn't played in 4 years. He's been out of the game. Right? And it was announced as an intention. It was announced as an intention to have him sign a one-day contract and retire. They sent him a letter. They want to drug test him.
Unreal.
Oh, I got a call today. I got a phone call today about my credentials, which I'd filled out all the forms back in July and was approved and the whole thing, right? Got a call today. Then unless I give a call back to whatever her name is, I have no idea who she is, that I will not have my credentials for the upcoming season. And I said, yeah. Now, do you think I called back?
No.
No. with all due respect, I think they'll let me in.
Yeah. You've only been there for over 3 decades.
Yeah. But I was already approved a month ago. Right? You got to be kidding. Like, you should call this person back. I said, I'm not calling them back.
Just in time for the first day of camp, right?
Oh, my God. I'm not going to do that. Are you kidding me? Oh. And again, you know what happened. It's an inexperienced person. They got a list, and they went through the list. And instead of looking at the list and actually knowing who the people are, you know what I mean?
It happens, I guess.
Well, that's what I mean. That there's too many people right now. I mean, we see mistakes all the time, and so many mistakes are made by people that don't have any experience. The person who made the drug testing call, bet him out, didn't have the experience, didn't even know who he was. Right? Didn't even know. Didn't even know.
You ready for the start of camp?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely ready for the start of camp. But I probably spent more time around them this summer. Jeez. Maybe in any year. Could be one of the reasons why I like this team so much. Because I think if, again, part of this is going to be the health. The health part is always going to play a big role in this. Because if there's one thing that happened with the transfer portal is not quite as big a way as people think of. But I felt like they were, I would say, 4 potential depth people that left. Now, what'd they say? Well, there's 14 altogether. Okay. But I only looked at really 4 of them where I thought, well, you know what? He could have helped him as a second or a third. He could have helped him as a special teams player. There's 4 guys to me that jumped out where I looked at and thought, okay. That was it, 4. Other than that, I really like this team. I like the young players they have. I mean, I look at some of the you look at the the wide receiver spot. We know what Jahan Dotson can do. Okay. And
KJ Hamler, of course.
KJ Hamler, Jahan Dotson. Now, Daniel George hasn't played a lot, but again, I've got the advantage of, like, okay, you haven't seen him play a lot, but I've seen him play a lot. See, I've seen a lot of Justin Shorter. I've seen a lot of Daniel George. And then Mac Hippenhammer. So I feel really good about five guys right away. Now, who can end up being the next guy? Is it a Dan Jacena, who had a really good spring? Danny played really well in the spring. Is it Cam Sullivan Brown, who had a really good summer as our intern at Channel 3? Right? Or maybe is it a freshman John Dunmore? Okay, that's what you look at. To me, that, you know, I've just mentioned already there eight names. And I feel if you have six, you're in pretty good shape. In that spot, safety. This is where I want to see a Jaquan Brisker step up. But, you know, Lamont Wade is a known entity. I thought Wade has been, I mean, he's been okay the first couple of years. But then I thought he had a very good spring. There's no doubt that that four-week period in the spring is the best four-week period I've seen of him at Penn State. Sutherland, I've always liked. And I've always liked Sutherland. I think Sutherland plays the run as well as any safety out there, but I felt that he's been better and better against the pass. And Garrett Taylor's really good. So can Jaquan Brisker step in, or is it the fifth-year guy and John Patrician? Now, I was talking to John 3 weeks ago, and he's just chomping at the bit for one last chance to get out there, because, I mean, to be honest with you, John's the kind of guy that I think could have been a help along the way. He's done some special team stuff. And there's Tyler Randolph. The true freshman was here in the spring. He didn't get as much run as other players. But he showed me from time to time that he has some possibilities. Maybe not in this particular year. He might play a couple of games early if Penn State gets a lead. But down the road, Tyler's going to be a good player. You look at corner. Reed, Castro Fields, two known entities. To me, Donovan Johnson's a known entity, and that shoulder's completely healed now. And he cranked out 21 reps at 225 pounds at Lift for Life. So I said to Jack, I said, I think his shoulder's fine. Trent Gordon's going to be a really good player, the corner, the redshirt freshman corner out of Spring, Texas. I think he has length, and I think he has very good cover skills. But then you've still got Keaton Ellis. Okay, Marquise Wilson. I think Wilson's really a good cover guy, but another year in the weight room would really help him a lot. It's got to get a little stronger. Keaton Ellis already is stronger, and Keaton Ellis already knows how to play. I think Keaton Ellis, if he stays healthy, has a chance to be very, very good. Now, is it this particular year? Because you already got guys in front of him. And the other guy is DJ Brown. DJ Brown went through a couple of nondescript seasons here. It's like, okay, you know, to the point where you're saying to yourself, gee, I wonder if it's ever going to really kick into gear for DJ. And then right before the bowl game, and you know I've mentioned this on the show a few times, right before the bowl game, bowl practice, he made a play. You're like, well, he made another play. And then he made a few more plays. And he made a few more plays. I'm like, hey, I went into the bowl game knowing he wasn't going to play. I knew DJ wouldn't play. But I thought, there's a guy to at least keep an eye on in the spring to see if he picks up where he left off or if he digresses. He picked up where he left off. He may have had a spring where he was good. Not great, not awesome and incredible, but good. And I thought that he continued to show the progress that he showed in the bowl practice to the point where I'm going to take a look at him and see if he can be one of the six corners. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstores, ready for all of your warm weather activities. Camping, picnics, grilling, visit Brewers Outlet first. For microbrews, imports, domestic specialties, they got them. Grab some pickles at the Pickle Bar, Steve Jones's favorite place. Snacks, Brewers Outlet has that covered. Soda, sports drinks, check. Weekly specials, too. And there's lots of convenient parking. So get all the refreshments everyone will love for your next outdoor gathering at Brewers Outlet, the beverage superstock superstore, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The Pickle Bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, Grace Donahue, thank you so much. Latest to give us a like on the Facebook page. We appreciate that very, very much. Frank Bodani still to come on the show today. But we'd like to get to Tony DeFazio. Yes, Tony DeFazio, old friend of the show, just spent a lot of time at Pittsburgh Steelers camp, and great to bring Tony back on the show today. Tony, welcome. Great to hear you on the other end. Making his triumphant return, although he'll freely admit it is not a moment he has lived for, is Tony DeFazio. Tony, welcome back. It is great to hear you again.
Always good to talk to you, Steve. And I think as we speak, the Pirates are setting up a pitching booth on Bill Mazeroski Boulevard right now. They could stand to find somebody who could throw in the ninth. Anybody who can throw.
Well, the other night, West Virginia was here playing State College, and a guy caught a foul ball. And I said, what a great catch by that guy in the fifth row. I said, in a related note, the Pirate scouts are going over to talk with him.
No doubt. Not that much of a stretch.
Tony, this—I said there's good news for the Pirates, and the good news is Steelers camp's underway because they will at least, in no uncertain terms, take up all the sports oxygen in the city. So I want to start with them. It's a quieter camp for obvious reasons. Two obvious reasons: are they a team that can be good, and because of the NFL's 9-7 deal, where you can get into the playoffs? Are they possibly playoff worthy?
You know, I think the entire division is, you know, in the AFC North is in that same spot. I mean, I guess the answer to that question to me is yes. I think they possibly are. Anytime you have an offensive line that is as good as theirs is, and you've got a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, you're going to be in games. Now, you know, I think a lot of the local fans, it doesn't matter what the fans think, but I think the fact is the fans are underestimating the losses of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. You know, as much havoc as Antonio Brown caused last year, you know, I was going to say off the field, but on it, off it, on the practice field, in the locker room, on social media, in the air, considering he, you know, arrived at camp last year in a helicopter. As much havoc as he caused, the guy had 100 and some catches for 1,200 plus yards and 15 touchdowns. They're going to miss that production. But boy, the veterans, you know, I was at camp at the end of last week, and a lot of the veterans, it's just, you know, like you said, it's a calmer camp, a much happier atmosphere. And they're there to, you know, the conversation is about football. It was not about football at camp pretty much any of the days over the past 3 or 4 years. It's about football now, and that is a welcome, you know, subtraction, I guess I would say. But without question, the production is going to be hard to make up. They didn't make it last year with him. You know, can they make it up across the board this year? That's going to be obviously the million-dollar question.
All right, so now let's go to the next part. When asked about Odell Beckham Jr., Eli Manning, who normally is a pretty level, even-keeled guy, said, quote, "Well, I won before he was here." Is that about the attitude Ben Roethlisberger has to have with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, I think that probably makes sense. I mean, you know, Ben went to Super Bowls. Antonio was not on the team. So, you know, Antonio has not won. Ben Roethlisberger has, and the two didn't win together. That's not to absolve Ben Roethlisberger from any of this. He's probably to blame for some of the issues with Antonio Brown. But I think it's clear when you look at the behavior, when you look at the off-field stuff, you know, Antonio Brown certainly, you know, caused a lot of this himself. So, yeah, I think that's not only Ben Roethlisberger's attitude. I think that's the offensive line's attitude and some of the leaders like Cameron Hayward and some of the guys like that. I think they have a very similar attitude right now. They have won without him. They can do it again. And quite frankly, for all the issues that Antonio Brown caused last year, we're not having this conversation if Chris Boswell makes a handful of kicks.
Right.
You know, if he makes a handful of kicks, all the craziness, all the off-field stuff, we're probably having a conversation about why didn't they advance further in the playoffs, because they would have won a game or two more, and they would have been a playoff team. So, you know, for all of the vitriol and all of the issues that AB caused, guy makes a couple of kicks, we're having a different conversation.
Tony, obviously James Conner goes in as the number one. There's no looking over his shoulder. Can Benny Snell play a role as the season goes along that could help Connor out?
Benny Snell thinks Benny Snell can. And if you've ever read an interview with Benny Snell, that is how Benny Snell talks. He says his name more often than pretty much anybody else would. But, yeah, you know, I think he can, and I think that Jalen Samuel can as well. I think both those guys are going to have to. And this is not taking anything away from James Conner. He's an easy guy to like. I've covered him for a long, long time. But he has injury issues. It happened again late last season. And even if he is on the field, he's not Le'Veon Bell when Bell's in his prime. I don't know if Bell's going to get to that point again or not. But he's a different player. He's not the same kind of player as Bell. So you do lose a little bit there. I think that Snell will have to, you know, maybe be the number one backup. And maybe be part of some kind of a rotation. I think it's going to be a very important preseason for Snell and for Connor, because I think they're going to take it easy on Connor. They're not going to want to wear him out, because they're going to have him doing a heck of a lot in pass protection and catching the ball. They've already lined him up wide. They did that a little bit last year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I'm talking about Connor. Snell is going to have to show he can do those kind of things. Jalen Samuel can. But those two guys are going to have to play some kind of a role for Pittsburgh to have a running game that lasts 16 games. They cannot throw the ball as often as they did last year. I think that was one of their issues. They threw the ball entirely too much. The absence of Antonio Brown may help in that regard. Ben tried to force the ball to Brown a lot over the entire duration of Brown's career.
All right, let's. I want to get to the defense. How do you look at the corner spot? In part, I know there was a day last week where Artie Burns actually ran first team. But how do you look at the corner spot, and what can that, if they can get that straightened out, what can it do for the other nine guys?
Well, I think it would be absolutely huge. I mean, they got a big time answer 2 years ago when they just, you know, when they got Joe Hayden from Cleveland. He's been the ultimate pro. He's been a better than solid player.
Yep.
If they can find a guy who can just be a solid player, Steven Nelson can come in and, you know, prevent, quite frankly, Artie Burns from having to play, or, you know, anybody else from having to come in and take regular snaps on that side, it's going to go a long way. I think they've solidified the safety position for the most part. But there are questions at corner too. Steven Nelson did not rate very high in a lot of the stats, and the way they break down the stats. Yeah, he has four interceptions. He's a very solid tackler. Those are good things. But he's going to have to answer and show that he's worth his contract. And Joe Hayden Younger, he's going to have to show that he can still deliver. So, you know, I think those are two legitimate questions. If Hayden is out or if Nelson is out, and we're talking about Artie Burns again, I don't know that we're in a very different position than we were last year.
All right, Josh Dobbs in a lot of ways was the surprise of last year, ended up being the number two guy. how important a preseason is it for Mason Rudolph to push him for that job and maybe take it?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, I think even though that's not the, you know, the biggest position battle, that's certainly going to be the maybe the most watched one. And I think, the natural progression, I think that the Steelers would love to see Mason Rudolph grab that job, not have them have to break down film into the wee hours of the night to decide who the backup is. I think they want Mason Rudolph to take that next step. And if he does do that, if he does take that next step, then you look a little bit into the future, and, you know, we're looking at 2021 being Ben Roethlisberger's last year under contract. You know, maybe we're starting to talk about something developing here as far as a backup goes, or a future replacement goes. Dobbs, I don't even know if he was a solid backup or not last year. He threw one big pass in one game, struggled in the game against Oakland. So, you know, yeah, he was the number two. Was he a legit number two? I don't know that he was. And I think they're hoping to get a legit number two. I don't know that they've had a true solid, we're comfortable with this guy as a number two since the Charlie Batch, since the Charlie Batch days and the Byron Leftwich.
Agreed. I totally agree with that, Tony. They have not had that since. I mean, Landry Jones and now Josh Dobbs, Mason Rudolph, so I agree with you. The NFL obviously feels that they can get more television revenue by going to an 18-game schedule. Now it'll eliminate a couple of preseason games. But the players are not enamored with an 18-game schedule because, let's face it, there's somewhat of a physical beating that goes along the way. How do you view the idea of an 18-game schedule?
You know, I hate it. I mean, you know, for a league to talk so much about player safety, putting these guys out there for two more games just doesn't make sense. Obviously, they want more money. And if that happened, the players would end up getting that extra money as well. But I just don't know how much sense it makes. Again, this is a physical beating. We learn more and more every year how much of a beating these guys take. Steve, it's hard to watch guys once they get in their 50s and 60s just try to maneuver around.
You know,
they have these banquets and stuff, and these guys' knees are just completely shot. Those are the ones that don't have any head injuries, you know? So, it just doesn't make sense. To me, it's just reeks of greed. But again, this is a league that drug tested Steven Jackson, so who am I to
I know. I'm going to come back and sign my one-day contract. First of all, we need you to take this cup. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Your one-day contract. We need you to take a cup. Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable.
No. You know what? I have felt over the years that there's an old adage that in sports they don't quite get. I'm talking about major leagues. Less can be more. And I think it's been one of the keys. I think one of the keys for the NFL over the years, to me, has been that they had a 16-game schedule instead. Now, I mean, baseball's always been, it's been 162 since we were kids. I mean, all right, I was born when it was 154. But I was too young to know that they changed to 162. So I understand that. But football's had this 16-game thing. And I think they leave people wanting more at the end, and I think 18 starts to slice into that.
Yeah, I completely agree. The first thought that ran through my mind when you talked about less is more was the whole argument about interleague play.
Yeah.
I kind of like interleague play, but there was also something pretty nice about never having seen these guys before until all the chips were on the table, or in the All-Star game. There was something mysterious about it, something cool about it, and it goes back to the same concept, less is more. And, again, the other thing to me that makes no sense with the idea of an 18-game schedule would be the potential proposal of guys getting mandated days off. I just don't know how that would work. What do you do if you're saving a guy? You want to give him a day off late in the season, but now all of a sudden you've got to win this game, but you have to rest one of your best players. That part of it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there's a bigger part to it. There's actually a bigger part than that is, what if you're the fan that bought the ticket to the game?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, you got to keep thinking about the consumer. You can't just keep thinking about your bubble. You got to think about the consumer. What makes them intrigued to watch the game? What makes them make the extra effort to go?
And that's 100% right, and that's where the biggest disconnection is. You're right. A lot of these guys making decisions don't know what it what's involved in a family, you know, going to an NFL game on a Sunday. It is not a simple thing. It is a process that's got to be planned out, you know, days or sometimes weeks in advance. You know, same thing for all the major leagues. But, yeah, no question about that. That is not a simple thing to do. It's not, hey, let's go to the game. You hop in the car, you drive down, you turn around and go home. It's, it's a major undertaking.
Absolutely. Hey, Tony, it's great to hear.
Tony DeFazio. Joining us back on the show. Next half hour, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. We'll talk Penn State football with him. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Heard that Bryce Harper highlight from Scott Fransky, and of course, we're your home for the Phillies. It's interesting. Harper, of course, you know, when you make when you have a contract that is $330 million over 13 years, that is a ton of cash. Well, I don't care where you are, Philadelphia, Arizona, doesn't really matter. You're going to get far more scrutiny because you have that kind of contract. More so in a place like Philadelphia because the fan base, there's a greater depth to it. There's more experience with it compared to maybe some other places. And they're going to look at your contract. What was he getting? About 25 to 27 million a year, somewhere in that neighborhood right now. And they're going to say, look, they paid you all this money. You've got to do more. Okay. And I totally understand that. Totally understand it. But I will say this about Harper. Right? When you look at Harper, his numbers are about what he usually does. I mean, that's who he is.
Basically, the home run numbers are down, but the RBIs are exactly where it is, and his average is down, too. I mean, but the RBIs are right there.
But that's who he is.
Right. The only thing I'll say to that, Steve, is I thought when the Phillies first signed him, and of course he didn't have any spring training time, that he was going to get off to a very slow start, especially from a batting average standpoint. I wasn't surprised that he had all those home runs early on, just I think just being juiced up, being with the new team and everything like that. But when he had that cool streak, that's exactly what I said to myself. You got to remember, he didn't have any spring training, but I thought he would have broken out of that slump a lot. I thought it'd be the home run numbers and everything else would be a little bit more up than it was just because of how well he's hit the ball lately. But, I mean, you still have to attribute those numbers, some of those low numbers, the batting average, the home runs to. He didn't have any spring training, which is on him, I think, still from somewhat of that standpoint.
But you know, but beyond that, Matt, again, Dick Girardi and I have talked about this many times. We don't, Jack and I don't talk about this as often because we don't really get too numbers based. I mean, there are numbers in football we look at. I mean, there's no question about that. But look, baseball is a big numbers game. Basketball can be a big numbers game. And Dick and I have talked about this many times. The quote, the numbers are the numbers. So in other words, let's take a basketball game. You are a 33% three-point shooting team. You know how many games I've done where like a team opens up over 6 and 3s, and then all of a sudden they hit 6 of their next 12, and guess what they end up with? 6 of 18, they're 33%. Teams usually do what they do. Same thing with a player. Hey, you may have a game here and there where you're a 15-point-a-game scorer, and you may have a couple of 20-point games and a couple of 10-point games, and you end up still averaging 15 points a game. Well, that's Bryce Harper. Baseball, same way. For the most part, you'll have a night where you go 3 for 4. Okay. Then you're going to have a night where you go 0 for 4. Then all of a sudden you're going to be 0 for 3. And now you're hitting 286. And that's your average. That's who you are. Well, you look at Bryce Harper, what he's doing with the Phillies, and yeah, you're right, the power numbers could be a little bit higher. Look, the baseballs are flying this year, and he's in a home run park. So that should be better. But for the most part, Bryce Harper's numbers are Bryce Harper's numbers. That's who he is. I mean, he's a big name. You get all excited about him, but to be honest with you, that's what you bought.